The first scripture is in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be the wrong about sin and righteous and judgment. I do pray that God will continue to have his hand upon this church. Brenda and I pray for you. I have been a member of churches at different times when there was a pastoral vacancy, and I can assure you that is a prime time for the enemy and for the adversary to try to work. When there's not a direct, visible under-shepherd, he is a master at knowing when you're leaning back a little bit to punch hard. But I say to you, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the Lord. Let's pray.
You, Pastor DK, for the prayers. And I want to take just a few seconds here to thank you all for your prayers. My daughter and I, last week or so, we had a great time. It was a blast. We loved it. And everyone is saying, well, she will remember that for the rest of her life. But you know, yeah, I was so thankful for that opportunity that, of course, I will not forget. We made memories for life together there. And tonight, I want to talk with you about being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So have you ever made plans that did not quite work out the way you had planned them? Or did that happen with you? Okay. But in fact, they turned out much better than what you have expected. Did that happen with you as well? Or they're just bad? So maybe someone brightened your day just surprising you with an unexpected gift. So a single token, like a simple one, like a coffee, free coffee, or a free donut or something like that. So, or maybe during a hunting trip, you got an unexpected big game, you know, that surprised you, or that fishing day that was so good that people will not believe you anyways. You know, like, it's impossible for them to believe you. So, all those fishermen stories. But, you know, if you tell me the stories, I will believe you, okay? I'll give you credit for it. So, a few years ago, when our family, all five of us, were coming back from Brazil, January, We were in São Paulo waiting for our flight to the United States there, and I heard that a call for volunteers for overbooking, right? And I said, you know what? I'll go there. I'll volunteer myself. And then I was the first in line. I was so fast that I was the first in line. And the guy asked, how many passengers? I said, five. He looked for the guy behind me and said, we don't need more volunteers, so you can go. Anyway, and they offered us a good gift, like $1,000 each for the five of us. And I said, you know what? I don't make $5,000 in a day working in Canada, so I can stay here one more day. And, you know, that was so good. And they put us in a hotel, which was really good, you know, good hotel. And the next night that we came back to fly to Chicago, we were surprised that they put all five of us in business class. Like, if you have experienced business class, you know what I mean by that, right? It's great. So the kids, they had the time of their lives. And so Rosemary and I, for the first time, right, experiencing that. The bad thing about that is that, you know, next time that you fly, you go, oh boy. You know, and so anyway, but that was a very good surprise for us. And with that gift that we got, we went back to Brazil next year. A couple trips, and the whole family again for Christmas. So that was a, a big bonus. We didn't plan for that, right? So, but these are just some examples that we can have some wins. We can enjoy some good moments. But they're far from being the general rules. Oh, you know, now we fly economy, or right? So, and tonight I want to remind you that God's plans for us are always better. As the passage Pastor DK read there in Jeremiah, where he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We can do great things when we are sensitive to His leading through the Holy Spirit. As we are very limited beings, lots of times we cannot understand God's ways. Sometimes they are too hard on us, and we don't appreciate when we don't have control over the situation. Does that resonate with you? Who likes to be in control? You know, like, we want to be in the safe place and know what's going on, right? And we are challenged during those times by faith to trust that God, at the end, He will always have the best for us. We normally don't mention so often the third person of the Trinity, right? The Holy Spirit. Normally we talk about God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Verses like John 3:16 that are well known, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." It seems in this verse to be the work of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son only. But it's in fact the Holy Spirit who indwells and works on us to attract us to God, to seek a relationship with Jesus Christ, to seal our salvation, to love one another. He guides us in how we pray. He helps us to resist sin and temptation. He instructs us with God's word. He guides us to discern the truth, and the list goes on and on. And today, I just want to focus on few ways that the Holy Spirit works on us. First one is that He convicts us from sin. The work of the Holy Spirit is to show us our sin, to reveal to us. He is the one who reveals to us that we are sinners and that we need Jesus Christ. In the text that we read in John 16, Jesus Christ said, "If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. And when He comes," this version says, "He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." We cannot convince people to turn away from their sin. But as we, as God's chosen people, we can show them the way and the how. Right? The Holy Spirit has His ways to work and bringing people to God. He can use our prayers. He definitely can. So that's one of the reasons why we need to pray and pray continually. We intercede for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, especially those ones closer to us. He can use a tragic event, a tragic experience to draw people's attention to Him. He can use a pastor's sermon or an inspired song or any of us to bring people closer to God. He can even reveal Himself, reveal God to people by dreams. And I'm sure that you have probably heard some powerful stories about that. So, and by no means He is limited to these points, okay? He does way more than that. But for the time that we have here, those are the ones that we're talking about. So the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, you are a sinner. You need to repent. Right? Without His work, we could never have our sins forgiven. We could never be saved. We could never join God in heaven. So, the second point is that the Holy Spirit gives us new life. The Holy Spirit gives new life by redeeming us. The Bible says that we are dead in our sins and trespasses. And because of that sin, we have lost our relationship with God. So, the Holy Spirit shows us and gives us new life in Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus is the one who saves us, but the Spirit is the one who points us to Christ. So, Jesus Christ says in John 3:3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So, as we must be born again, the Holy Spirit is the one who is the main part of the process. He is the main part on that process. Okay? Making us a new person in a supernatural act. So, and as Paul, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done. Not all our good works and all the good things we have done are going to save us. We all know that. But Paul following up here, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So we are saved by the mercies of God, by the grace of God to Jesus Christ the Son, and by the work of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we didn't earn, and something that we didn't work for. It's a free gift of God, the gift of salvation. And you all know that it is by grace, grace alone, right? The third point is that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. So God says, I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's in Ezekiel chapter 36. So our bodies becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why we must take good care and discipline our bodies. God loves our bodies. He doesn't want it to be polluted by fleshly lusts and things to which we give ourselves. The Bible again says, don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So, maybe this is something that you have been struggling with, and there's something that you need to address or change, as you're not treating your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whatever that is, I'm not pointing fingers here. There's no judgment. Nobody knows what you're facing or what you need to deal with God. But I want to encourage you to do that. It's between you and Him. And He would love to hear from you, for you to address that situation as good stewards. And in the past sermons, we had talked a lot about stewardship, right? As good stewards, we need to take care of our bodies because it was entrusted to us by God. It was a gift from God to us. So we need to care for it as the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And the fourth point that I want to emphasize here is the last one, is that the Holy Spirit empowers the believer. He empowers each one of us here and around the world, whatever people are, those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have surrendered their lives to Him, They are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. As He indwells on their lives, in our lives, He also empowers us. So why He does that? That's the power that we need to do what? To serve God. And Jesus Christ says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it's a well-known verse, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Listen to this now. Without the power of the Holy Spirit working on us, we cannot accomplish anything in God's kingdom. God's message from the Bible, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will speak to you and me, and through you and me, whatever we are, whatever we are doing, God can use us and He can empower us. He will supply your needs, whatever your needs are. Again, if the Holy Spirit is not working in the message, on the message we share, whatever we say or do, it will be just words or action tossed into the wind. They will have no power. I'm not saying that God will not recognize our efforts, our willingness and desire to serve Him. He absolutely will, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit working on us, that the gospel message we share with someone will impact, change, and transform their lives for God's glory. Back in Brazil, a few years back when I was younger, you know, just a few years back, I was running my own IT business. And you know, I've been in Canada now, my wife and I, for about 17 years. As I had my own business, I had a partner, and we had decided to invest in some updates for our employees' development. So, for a whole week, we worked our regular hours from 8 to 6 p.m., and then in the evening from 7 to 10:30, 11, we would have this extended course, right? Which was very tired for everyone. And on Friday, finally, we, around 8 p.m., we're done. And I was so happy. I was glad just to go home, soak in a shower, you know, take a good shower and rest and sleep. So one of the guys that used to work for us there asking me for a ride. And, you know, it was kind of on my way. I just need to deviate a few blocks to drop him at the bus station. That would help him to get home faster, you know. And I said, okay, I was not excited to help, right? But I said, you know what, let's do it. And at church during that week, there was an evangelistic play going on. We had about 200 people from church working hard, you know, to share the gospel message through that play. They even managed to bring a crashed car in one of the basement rooms just to make it more realistic. Okay, so lots of people involved. My wife was one of the volunteers. She was at the church on that evening. Her sister, who was a school teacher and still teaches, had scheduled to bring her high school students, about 70 of them, to watch the play. And they were evening students from 7 to around 11 p.m. That's very common down in Brazil, right? So, and it was amazing that the principal not only agreed, but he got transportation for them to go. Anyway, as I dropped my friend at the bus station, I noticed that I was on the road that would take me to the church. And you know, I heard, "You should go to the church." And I pulled a Jonah, you know. God said, "Go north or west." I go, what? South. Right? I was tired. I didn't want to go. I just want to go home, as I said. Right? And as I turn the corner to head home, my phone rings. And it was my wife. So there was a problem. A mistake was made. And the student's name were not on the schedule for that night. So can you imagine the problem that was? How, sad the principal and Rosemary's sister, they were, because they couldn't watch the play after all their efforts to bring the kids there. So, and I was not sure how I could help. But to help my wife, I said, okay, I will go. I'll go there and see what we can do, right? So again, I wasn't happy, you know, but I turned around and I head to the church. I got there and I did not go to see the group, and I did not go to talk with them to try to calm them down or blame someone for the problem, right? I heard, pray. Got together some prayer warriors, went into the prayer room, and we prayed. And I can tell you that it was about 15 minutes later, I got a phone call from my wife saying, it's unbelievable. They're all calm, you know, and they have decided to wait to watch the play at the end. And it was scheduled to finish by 11 p.m., for you have an idea, right? So, After that, the Holy Spirit, we noticed that the Holy Spirit was on the move. That was it. There was no other explanation. So all people who were engaged in the drama were concerned about time. Of course, they were scheduled to finish by 11, and that group of 70, that would mean that they would have three more rounds going on, right? Because each one of the groups would be about 20, 22 people on it. So, and once again, I heard, pray more. Pray for the cast. Pray for the people that are tired doing this, and it'll be late when they are finished, right? And they will, of course, they want to go home. And this play was developed in a kind of 8 different rooms, okay? And about 20 people would come in and they would see a scene and then they would move on to the next one. So, and I stopped in each room and I explained the cast what was going on, you know, and they all unanimously agreed, no, we need to do this. We are going to do this. We stay longer, but we'll do this. So again, we pray together in each one of the rooms. And it was short after 11 when the first of the group of those kids started to go through the play. As I was watching them, when they came to the first room, they were laughing. They were making fun, telling jokes. After the second or third scenes, their expression started to change. The laughter has become tears. And I could hear someone whispering, what's going on? That's the story of my life. You know, and it was amazing to see that the Holy Spirit was on the move for something very special. It was past midnight. My sister-in-law got a phone call from a concerned mom. She was not too sure what to say to that mom. Right, she goes, we are at the Baptist church here watching a Christian play, but it was delayed. And that mom goes, what? That's a miracle. Is my son at the church? Praise my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep him there. You know, I said, oh, wow, that's great, right? Very encouraging. And at the end of the play, at the end of each presentation, the group heard the gospel message, and moved by the Holy Spirit, almost half of those students have decided either to surrender their life to Jesus Christ for the first time or to recommit their lives to Him. after the gospel message, we would pray with them. And I ended up praying with a young man named Abraham, who was recommitting his life to Christ. What I will never forget that moment. You know, to see that young man and his desire to get back to his first love with Jesus Christ. That was an amazing experience. So it was past 1:30 a.m. when the last group had finished. So with all I had experienced that night, I did not even remember how tired I was. I was in awe. I did not plan my work week to end like that. But I would do everything to have that same experience again and again. You know, because that was so powerful. And I was just sitting on my car in the parking lot, just watching them on the bus, contemplating their joy. Wow, what a powerful, what a precious moment that was. They were just enjoying the moment and talking about their experience. Rosemary and I, we got home around 2:30 a.m. and it was past 3:30. We're still talking about and praising God for what He had done. And we are so thankful for the privilege that we had to participate in that. You know? So that week ended way better. And I had planned, I already said that. Gracefully, the Holy Spirit took over and allowed us to experience what God was doing. So, things like free coffee or free air tickets are good. You know, I would say keep them coming, right? But the joy of seeing people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior cannot be compared with these freebies. By no means. There's no way. And this experience is a great reminder for us that God is in control. The Bible says that for it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. We are God's instrument to bring people to know Him and to experience the life that only He can give. It's not what we want or like. It's not about that. It's not about, it's not on our time. It's not if we are up to it or not. It's His Spirit moving on us and working on us that will make us able to change this world for His glory, for God's glory. It's only by God's mercies that we can participate in this process. You know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for us. So, there are times that I did not follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And I go, how many times have I missed the blessings? How many opportunities have I let go because I was not willing to obey and trust the Holy Spirit of God to use me? You know? And I was called to visit a gentleman one day that he was dying, he was afraid to die. I was not invited to go, but the Spirit told me, you go. This man needs to hear from me, from God. And I said, no. You know, and a few weeks later, that man passed away. And I carried that on my heart, you know, like how hard that was. I missed a huge opportunity there. But I said, no more. I will not miss a chance to share God's message with anyone anymore. So, I don't want to miss them and the blessings that come with our obedience to God. And I want to challenge you to do that in your life. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will be speaking with you. I am sure that he will. Because he was the one who convicted you from your sin. He is the one, he indwells in your life, you know. He is the one in control. He empowers you. And he will use you to bring glory to God. And if we as a church here at Cowboy Trail Church try on our own efforts, you know, because we see things that's, it's so easy to do, it's so easy to get things done, we will certainly fail. We will produce no fruit, we will make no impact in this community. So we need to trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to His speaking. How do I do that, Pastor? You know, you go back to the basics. You read your Bible and pray every day. Because that will give you what you need to be sensitive to God when He speaks to you through His Word. Or when you just hear, sit down and speak with that person. That's it. You may see a lightning coming down. You know, I don't know. God has different ways of working. And for sure, He will not repeat Himself. Right? And I'm looking forward to hear your experience. Like I shared mine, I want to encourage you to share yours. Share with someone. Share with someone in the congregation here. So, yeah, you know that song, right? Read your Bible and pray every day. As kids, that's what we need to do. As you do that, be prepared, be intentional. And I'm sure that you have those opportunities and you'll be able to hear and know without doubts that the Holy Spirit leading you to be used by God. And I can guarantee you that you will be in awe. You'll be amazed in what God can do using your life. By being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, people's lives will be transformed for the glory of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank You because He, Lord, is in our lives. He is the one working on us, Father. And I pray, Lord, that He will continue to bring us into Your presence, Lord, and help us to understand what You want from our lives. Father God, we have so many opportunities, Father, to share Your love with others. And I pray, Lord, that You will be showing us those opportunities, Father, and we will follow You. We will follow Your lead, Lord, and accept, Lord, what You want to do in our lives. So people will be saved. People will have the hope and the assurance that we have in the eternal life that Jesus Christ can offer us. Jesus Christ gave us. We're thankful, Lord, and we want to have more people with us. So please, Lord, use us. Whatever we are, Lord, that You will be guiding us and using us according to Your will. I humbly pray that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank You.